We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat lose, unsurprisingly. I mean, I think once we saw that Jimmy was out, they're playing the Mavericks, who are not a bad team by any stretch. They're fighting for a Western Conference playoff spot. They have a really good offense, and the Heat don't. Especially, you don't have Jimmy Butler. You're going to struggle. And they did, and they came out, scored 39 points in that first quarter. But surprisingly, somehow the Trevor Ariza-led offense didn't hold up for four quarters. I was as surprised as you guys. I don't know how much you take away from this game. The Heat have been playing a lot better lately. You would have liked to see more from Nunn. You would have liked to see more from Bam. I just felt like this game got away from him. We saw what happened in that third quarter. It was just, the second quarter and then going into the third, it was just once the Mavericks got ahead, once they got hot, Tim Hardaway Jr. turned into Steph Curry, and it was over. But you know what? We are not going to dwell on it. We are going to have a good time. I am Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. You are watching Hangover Time, the Miami Heat Beat postgame show. And bring me out brass because I'm super excited because we have a special guest today, the light-skinned wonder, Channing Crowder. What's going on, Channing?
Good, man. Good. Everybody good. I appreciate you having me on, bro. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, so since you're the light-skinned wonder, I decided let's have the light-skinned opinions crew on. My man Christopher Maddox, dark-skinned producer. Paris Thompson, and of course we need Brass Jazz, our producer, and for some reason Solan is here too.
Even lighter skinned opinions.
I just figured, super light, transparent skin opinions. We needed Solana here, just to fuck with you, I guess, a little bit. And for you to fuck with Solana, because it's one of our favorite things to do on the show, is to give Solana a hard time. But before we do that, this is something we do on every show, Channing. We find out what everybody's drinking. I already seen you sipping, so we're going to find out what exactly everyone's drinking. Channing, that's the kind of production you can expect tonight on Hangover Time.
Hey, baby, y'all need to get Solana involved. That one number goddamn empty lights. No, hey, first, I'm drinking gas station wine from a freaky out. see my pinky. I stick that bitch out like that there, but I drink, yeah, that's Pino Grigio gas station, $11 wine right there.
It'll get you drunk. in honor of Channing,
I got three kids off gas station wine.
That should be
He's not joking.
That's a slogan, man. That's a new slogan.
A man from gas station wine ain't gonna knock on your door tomorrow. Like, hello.
we have an endorsement deal for you.
And I'll sign the check, bitch. Sign the
check. I'm actually drinking beer for the first time ever on Hangover Time, because when I hit up Channing, he said, I don't drink that hard liquor. So I said, all right. So for my man tonight, I'm drinking Miller Lite. Plus, I don't want to waste any liquor on this game. Chris, what you drinking tonight?
I'm actually not drinking anything tonight, but I would like to comment on the frat boy that bought you the Miller Lite in the special bottle. You got it in the canteen. I'm about to go on a hike, Miller Lite.
I can't be trusted with glass, brother.
Is that like the my first Miller Lite can, bro?
That's that's that Fisher Price shit.
They don't want you to hurt yourself too much. Here you go. Try this little one. But what's up, bro? I'm not drinking nothing tonight. I forgot to pour something to drink. That's the only reason why.
It's like jail when they take away your shoelaces.
Yeah, <man.
laughs> I can't have glass down here when the heat illusion.
Alpha's out here getting in bar fights with broken beer bottles.
I'm over here threatening my dog and shit. Fucking like, Tim Hardaway Jr.
Give me those bottles, guys.
Brass, what you drinking tonight?
I didn't do anything too crazy tonight. I made a margarita. I mean, nothing overly fancy.
It's almost still
good, it's fresh. It's a fresh margarita. None of that mixed
margarita shit. And the MIDI keyboard in the background and the slight red light. Hey, it seems like it's life. Nice over there.
Yeah. Setting the mood.
Playing a little Solana. Billy Joel.
I'm gonna go to Solana last because he's always embarrassing us. Parrish, what you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking Tito's, man. I'm drinking Tito's for Chris, man. I know how much he loves it. He's out here. It's cranberry, but it's that cranberry with a splash of not cranberry. It's the ginger ale with a splash of cranberry. So,
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's Pensacola fancy. My dog say ginger ale with a splash of cranberry.
With a splash of cranberry. I mean, that's it. That's how we do it.
That shit was buy two, get one free at Publix. I bet you. I know a deal when I see one.
Yep.
Oh, this the one that's two for one? This one.
Yeah, that one. I went to Winn-Dixie Liquor. They was like, get a 2 liter if you buy some Tito's. I said, okay.
They tried to get rid of that Christmas cranberry bullshit that was like. That expiration date soon come.
That's it.
Solana, what you drinking tonight?
Oh man, I'm bringing it strong today. Passion fruit, dragon fruit, funky Buddha hard seltzers, guys. Only 90 calories in each can. The best flavors, funky Buddha hard seltzer tonight. Passion fruit, dragon fruit.
Fire. Now the funky Buddha man definitely need to come knock on your door tomorrow.
I think that's how he Channing. He got that shit for free, didn't he?
Yeah, bro. Funky Buddha, every one of our sponsors, and I drink the hell out of some funky Buddha now. They sent us cases. So yeah, I was on the wine vibe tonight. I wasn't beering, and I was on the wine vibe. I think my wife got smiling.
I got my funky Buddha. Oh, fridge Jesus. Right here, all filled up. Go. It's only Funky Buddhas in my Funky Buddha fridge.
Can I ask you what?
Any of that Clamato juice in there?
What does a dragon fruit passion fruit beer taste like?
Nah, it's a hard seltzer. Oh, so hard it's not seltzer. A beer. It's a hard seltzer. Yeah, it's more classy. It's more classy.
It tastes more classy. That's it.
Yeah, your boy left the prom early with that one.
Smith and Smoldick in the chat says Solana talking about calories, but he built like a bottle of Elmer's glue.
He's fine now. Don't try it now. Solana's fine. That's why he come in.
Salon go to the gym and take them selfies at the gym, don't he?
Yeah, yeah, he a selfie dude, bro. Salon weird now. I don't know y'all had him on. That's my dude. I fool with Salon, but Salon is weird as hell. I don't know if y'all understand that. With tight stuff, with high water, khakis, and all kind of stuff, tight pants, got
ankles.
Got a little man camel toe out with his dick showing. Yeah, Salon weird.
Crowder's just jealous because my knees look better than his raggedy ass knees after 33 surgeries in the NFL. If you had my knees, he would have played 10 or 15 years in the NFL, not six. Dang.
Boy, that's something when a man talk about your knees, dog.
Go to work. I mean, we'd be at work, you know, before the pandemic, we'd be at work. And I'd walk into work, man, and I'd be like, Solana, man, your dick is out. I see your dick in the cement, man. Put your dick away. Any of y'all have to say that's not something you're supposed to see at work is an old light
on his leg. No, it's not.
And Nick and the shaft. You see it all. And man,
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna go to HR on your ass
So you going to work with biker shorts on? What you doing?
It's like the division sign, like ball, dick, ball.
Oh my god!
It's the man camel toe.
What is
the
man camel toe?
You need surgery for that shit.
Wait. This is a conscious choice. Like before, when you walk out of the house in the morning, you're like, wait a minute, let me make sure.
So are you wearing that all day?
Is it ball, dick, ball, or ball, dick, ball? Because if it's the other way.
Diagonal.
Because if it's this way.
Ball.
What's happening there?
That boy is born.
You need to join the.
I'll show you guys another day.
So he comes into work putting the hard and hard seltzer. Sorry.
Hey, you guys ready to shake it up in here? Oh my god!
People think we're mean to Solana on this show. Like, holy shit, you came out swinging.
I always tell you guys, like, whatever. Like, you guys are nothing. It's like pussy shit coming on this show. I'm not even joking.
We can go harder if you want to, Solana.
You kind of deserve it.
It's funny because I spend, you know, 50 minutes on one of these episodes, and they think, you know, they text me after, hey, you know, we're just joking around. Like, oh, yeah, no worries. Bro, I spent 4 hours of just getting torched on Hawk and Crowder every single day. It's 4 hours of being torched. So this is fun for me.
Shannon, my favorite.
You hear that, YouTube people?
I love the locker room mentality when you can give people hell. Everybody give everybody hell and everybody cool with it. That's how it's supposed to be in life. That's how alpha male, that's how lions are supposed to be. Take shots, get shot, big school, yeah. Big boy, and have a good time, man. It's a lot of guys. I say that.
Okay, Solana with the tough skin.
Well, alpha. Listen to that YouTube chat. The YouTube comments are always coming at us like, oh, man, y'all too hard on Solana. Listen, it's all fun and games. Like, the man wouldn't keep coming on this show if he was hurting his feelings. That's a grown-ass man who walks around with a camel toe. You think we could hurt him? My man's got his dick out at work.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
With one ball above his dick. I don't even know how you do that shit.
I've been knowing if you hit something the night before. Because if you hit something, that thing pulls them up. But if you ain't hit nothing, it have a little blood in it. So I'd be like, oh, Solana, you got something last night because that bitch a little shorter today. Yeah, I got the whole lady was feeling good. I'm like, yeah, I can take a look.
Oh, man.
It's great because I'm really mad you talking like that. Yeah, my old lady hit me up, man.
Solana sounds different.
Oh boy,
Jesus. Solana got a whole different swag at work. Apparently,
big man. He big man at work now, especially after quarantine gave him some shit that I ain't never seen. Because when he's face to face, then they got to deal with you face to face. But when you on Zoom and motherfucking clean feed or whatever that shit is, then people be talking shit. So a lot of swag went through the goddamn roof once we did the quarantine. Now you be talking crazy to me. Crowder, back. Get on the goddamn. I'm like, hey, take it easy. So I'm going to ride down to the studio now. Talk crazy. don't act like I ain't going to see you again. Solana got quarantine balls out of this world.
Crowder's just mad because he invited me to go fishing once, and I fished the fuck out on that boat, and he was pissed. He was pissed. I outfished him. That's what really happened. Last time I saw him, I outfished his ass. That's what really happened.
Dang.
You know, that's what happened. you know how when you take your wife, to golf, you let her get the shots, encourage her. I treated Solana like my wife when we went fishing. He goes, Solana, let the line out. He's like, okay. And then he caught a fish and he talking shit. I was like, come on, bro. Hey, this is what I do.
Okay, so the chat is getting mad because we haven't talked any basketball. So because Siobhan isn't here, I don't know what y'all want to talk about this game, but I do have a couple of plays from our favorite player on Hangover Time, Mr. Deadman. Now, for y'all who don't watch every day, Channing, LSO guys, we have taken a special liking to Dwayne Deadman. Because he looks like everybody's uncle.
I saw you change your Twitter name.
Yeah, you know, we call him Mr. Deadman out of respect. I know he's younger than me, but he looks 55, 60 goddamn years old. So I call him Mr. Deadman. That's out of respect because that's how I was raised. So we got to – and we also say he looked like a mechanic. You know, like the man in the neighborhood that can fix your carburetor. That's, you know, that's Mr. Deadman. You get a new car, you got to show it to Mr. Hey, I'm going to go show my new car to Mr. Deadman real quick.
Or you just got to show up with like a bunch of parts from the Napa Auto Parts store, like brake pads, rotors. Like, hey, I got all this stuff.
Mr. Deadman say, hey, man, go to the junkyard. You bring it back. I'll put it on there for you, right? So that's who Mr. Deadman is. So we have a special segment called Mr. Deadman's Garage where we highlight a couple of his best plays. Go ahead, Brass.
My favorite though is that old black man that work on everybody's car in the black neighborhood. You know, you need a little carburetor fix or something, you go to him, he be talking to you whole time with his just hanging off his lip. What you got there now? What you got, a flimmer? Yeah, bring that back around here for my 4 o'clock. It ain't no goddamn problem. I'll put a carburetor on there for you. I used to work out the plant 15 goddamn years. I'll put a carburetor on there for you. Nigga, just bring me back a pair. Boy, you know what, boy? You look like your goddamn daddy. You don't look like you leave.
Wow, the production quality is amazing.
Listen, you know, and especially for Mr. Deadman, that has to be, we have to have that respect. So we got our first play. This is just one of the things that that Mr. Deadman does so well is he's just patient with the cuts. He sits there, he lies in wait, plays a little possum, and boom, right to the rim. You know, hit him with the little reverse, use the rim as protection. You know, so, you know, what's this Powell dude couldn't block the shot. And it's whatever, Dwight Powell, whatever his name is. So one of the things, it's when the reason he has been such a blessing to this bench is you had guys like Belly, Precious, who were just not doing the small things, playing like a big man. Deadman comes in, he plays like a big man, he plays smart, plays with common sense, just does all the little things. So is this the second play? This is just a hustle play out of Mr. Deadman right quick. So how many times have we seen a play like this where, you know, the entire Heat team just runs back on defense and we don't get an offensive rebound? This is a time, you know, Deadman's using his body, using his size, strips Luka Doncic, does a little thing, does a hustle play, gets him a second chance at scoring. We have not, this team has not been able to offensive rebound all year before he came. They have not gotten a lot of second chance points, and he gives them that little, that off the bench. And honestly, they have been excellent. Their record, I think they're 7-3 since Mr. Deadman joined the team. The bench has actually had some production where we were getting 10-point nights off the bench before Dwayne got here. Now he's here. He's giving you those little things that we weren't seeing. He's actually giving you some size where the Heat had no size before. They couldn't rebound. Now you're seeing some of that. His connection with Jimmy, they're like, they have like a positive 23 net rating on the year when those two guys play together. So that was our Mr. Deadman segment. Just wanted to give him a shout out. One of the few highlights we could find. I have one more. I have the gaga 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 of the game real quick. You got that, Brass?
Mm-hmm.
This is Bam. And this is what we would like to see a little bit more from him. Gets the ball. He had the alley-oop. Oh, no, the putback. Bam, right over Willie Cauley-Stein. One more time, Brass. I fucked this whole play up. Here you go. There you go. I forgot what play.
That's all you want to say anyway, man. That's
all I want to do. I just want to do the ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. That's all I want.
Is that supposed to be the sound of the rim? That's what that is? It's like a sound effect?
It's from a Chappelle Show skit.
Oh, okay, okay.
When he was playing the kid in 2K, and he was whooping his ass.
The cancer patient? The cancer patient, yeah.
And he was like, oh, ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. He's like, oh, that shit hurt, don't it? Yeah.
But what you just talking about with Deadman, man, that's what we were missing. That big, real big man. That point shit is amazing out of Bam and all the stuff he does. But you need a big. You see, when we play them faster, them footers, we always struggle. We always get our rebounding on offensive rebound, defensive. That's what we were missing. And think about it, Dwayne Deadman. We were talking about Drummond. We were talking about LaMarcus Aldridge. We were talking about some other back. Deadman was sitting at the crib. Deadman could have been on the damn show. He was out. And Pat went out and found him. And he's giving that energy. So, yeah, that size is what we needed because that whole, Duncan Robinson is going to crash the boards. Bro, get the hell out of here. Somebody going to throw Duncan ass in the fourth row. We needed some size, and that's what Deadman gave us, some size. And then even Bam's thing, Bam putting the ball back in. That's what we need. We have to rebound. The biggest weakness on the Heat is rebounding right now. Second, creating their own damn shots. Nobody can create their own shots other than Jimmy and Bam. Everybody else, they can do what they – every now and again, they'll create this shit.
But, Chris, we've been bigging up none for weeks.
Yeah, I've been seeing you on Twitter. But yeah,
I'm finally trying to give my man his props. I'm trying to stop him.
Yes.
But look what Chan has said. When Jimmy's not in the game, all of a sudden – none can't create his own shot. He can't get no kind of separation. Like, this team is so dependent on Jimmy. And look what, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Look what happened tonight when Jimmy's not there creating for these guys. None can't get separation. People he talk can't. About how athletic he is. He just, he
well,
can't.
He's
get,
not that athletic.
He is
that
was, not.
Yeah, he's that's just a streaky. Fallacy.
None is streaky. When he gets hot, he's good. But when he's not, he can't, you know, he can't create.
He's a solid player, but he's not the, you need a dynamic guy with the ball in his hands in this type of offense. But when it comes to Deadman, though, I think what you see with Deadman is a guy who just know who he is. Like, Precious and these other people, they're trying to figure it out still. He knows. He's like, yo, I'm in the league. I'm getting this money right now. How am I getting this money? By setting screens, by rolling, by getting rebounds, by finishing at the cup. If I do that, this check will keep coming. He's a grown man, like, with his mindset. And while the other guys are trying to figure it out, he at least knows what he's doing. As for the team itself, you know, the Heat are just – I wonder sometimes why we can't just do some simple things. When Duncan is not hitting shots, when situations are tough, why don't we go to a strong five plays? You know what I mean? Like something that we know we can at least get a quality shot off of. Instead of having to rely on a guy like Nunn to create it, we need to start scheming it, if that makes sense.
Can I just respond to that real quick? Yeah, my only thing with that is how many teams in the NBA without their best player are going to have their role players play or be as efficient or as effective without their best player? So tonight, does Tim Hardaway Jr. play as well as he did if Luka Doncic isn't on the floor?
He dropped 40 the other night when Luka was out.
Well, I don't know why you brought up stats to disprove my point. Fuck you.
They said it on the goddamn broadcast. All you had to do was listen.
I don't disagree with the fact that we have to draw plays. Like, you're right. Certainly you do, but this team without Jimmy Butler isn't gonna win a playoff series regardless. So like I'm not concerned. I get it's stupid to just overlook a game without Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. Like the Heat need to find ways to win, and that's fair. But let's be real. If Jimmy Butler doesn't play in a playoff series, doesn't matter who we're playing, the Heat aren't going to win a 7-game series no matter what they're drawing up for Kendrick Nunn. Like, he's just not the type of guy that's going to carry you through a 7-game playoff series against any team.
And here's where I disagree with Chris a little bit. The problem is not that they don't have plays. The problem is when the plays don't work, they don't have guys that can make up for the fact. Like Channing was saying, they don't have guys who can go create for themselves. Because when a play breaks down, you know, in the bubble, you had Goran who would just go ahead and fuck it. I'm gonna put my head down, get to the rim, I'm gonna do something. When a play breaks down, you have Jimmy gonna make something out of nothing. Bam sometimes does it. Tonight he wasn't doing it. But they don't have enough of those guys. So when that dribble handoff to Duncan don't work, you know, what ends up happening is you get like an angle three from Iggy. And that should count as a turnover in the books. Every time he attempts a three-pointer, that should be a turnover.
Andre Iguodala on offense at this point in his life as a man is terrible. And I'm a huge Andre Iguodala fan. Huge fan from Arizona days, so I don't say this lightly. But right now, the man is he's kind of trash. And I don't like seeing him out there on the court sometimes. He tried a layup today, tonight. That layup that was under the rim, and he threw the shit 25 feet in the air. And I'm like, what are you doing, cuz? You don't even do that on purpose, like, to throw that shit like that. Like, you know what I mean? So, anyway, that's kind of off the topic. But Andre Iguodala, to the greater point, I guess what all y'all are saying is, we relying on a lot of guys who aren't really go-to guys or guys who are solid with the ball in their hands even. And that's going to be a problem. My disappointment with Nunn, though, is just because Nunn has had a lot of time. That whole – when he first burst on the scene as a rookie player and we first got to know him, he's been bubbling for a minute. And it's getting to the point now where, you know, he kind of got to eventually get to a level and stay there. And I hope if we get in the playoffs or something like that, if he can help us win, you know, one game a series – I mean, that shit, that's a lot. You know what I mean? Give us 22 one random night.
Honestly, I think our guy is Bam. And I know Bam, he's our defensive, like our defensive stopper and everything like that. But he only gave us, what, like 11?
11 points.
I'm just saying, like when you're talking about like the five set of plays, I think some of those plays need to run through him down low. Like he doesn't, like his post game is okay. Like I think he needs to develop more of a post game. And we need to depend on him to kind of, when we in slumps like that, to just let's go down low and hammer.
Well, they actually have been going to Bam some more in the post. But the funny thing is, and G said this on the last last Miami Heat Beat podcast, that when Bam has a mismatch in the post, there's only one guy that can complete an entry pass on the Heat. For some reason, nobody can complete a simple entry pass in NBA anymore. And the only guy in the Heat can do it is Jimmy Butler. So when he's not out there, even if Bam has somebody sealed in the post, like you just see them like this, and then they pass it around the perimeter, It's like no one could just get the ball in the post. Like, I mean, so Channing, I grew up watching basketball. The big man in the post, you gave it to him.
The big rock. But all y'all, listen, we saying the same thing. Alf, you hit it on the head. Where, listen, they have played. I love Spo. Spo's a Hall of Fame coach. Spo knows when they come out of a timeout, when they come out of what, you know what I'm saying, they got some time off, he's going to draw some shit up. But then when it breaks down, you watch so many other teams, even Tim Hardaway Jr. tonight. You watch, you know, you go to the KDs and the Stephs and all those, you know, LeBron, all those Hall of Famers. They say to hell with it. When that play clock hits 10 seconds, they tell everybody, get the fuck out the way. Yep. Let me get this one-on-one, and I'm going to get to the rim. We do not have that. We don't have that. That's not the problem. Jimmy,
they only got Bam one guy, Jimmy.
Can create. Jimmy and Bam can create. But if they get double-teamed or they start pitching those guys off and they flood, you know, they'll flood the side of the court Jimmy's on. They'll leave that dude in the corner, let his ass shoot if he wants to. But they flood him. We do not have a guy that would say, 10 seconds left, get out the way, y'all assholes. I'm about to go do something. That's our problem. And y'all hit it on the head. Nunn can do it, but Nunn is like, what's it, Vinny Johnson, microwave. Like, you put Nunn on the court. In my mind, I put Nunn out there, what, like 2-3 games ago, Nunn went out there and dropped 10 in the first quarter. And you like, okay, Nunn's good tonight. Nunn's, you know, he's warming up. He's good. He got it. But then you put Nunn out there sometimes, he'll go 0-4, and you say, okay, take his ass off the court. Go sit him down in the corner. That's what it is, bro. We gotta have, bro. You talk about big threes. We have two. To really make this playoff run, we gotta figure out who else. And I love the Dragon. Four suits for the price of 74 suits. All endorsement suits. I love Goran Dragic. He got that big ass knee brace on. He's old. I don't know if he still has it. We gotta see. But that's what we gotta find. That person that can say, y'all get the hell out of my way, and I'm going to go get to this rim. Bradley Beal. I know we were talking about him. I can continue to name names that y'all know. When they say, I'm going to get to this rim, they're going to get to the rim. Jimmy's the only guy that said, the hell with it, I'm going to get to this rim whenever he wants to.
Well, last year in the bubble, Goran had 3 months off, and they came into that bubble, and he was producing like one of those guys. I mean, he was averaging 22 points in the playoffs. He was doing that thing when Jimmy Butler was out. He was leading that, you know, they had two guys that were constantly attacking. Now they don't. Depot was supposed to be that guy.
Man, what a misfortune that is.
Now, if Depot's not that guy, Depot was supposed to also help you let Goran get some time off and get ready for the playoffs. You can't afford to sit Goran right now. Oh, I mean, half the time you miss it. None, Goran. Out of the four guards, you're missing three of them almost every single game.
Oladipo somewhere singing ballads about this season.
He do an Instagram post.
It's his birthday today.
It's his birthday, Depot.
Y'all know what the limit is? When that person give you that car for $1,800 and that bitch down run, but a week later?
Yeah.
He might have bought us a limit.
And I don't want to sound like that guy. I don't want to sound like that guy, but I believe I said that on this show, too, if y'all could. Let this motorcycle race behind me calm down a little bit. But I said that on this show too. I said that. I'm like, I don't know about Depot, man.
Was that Pat Riley in the back?
I was racing a car out there.
Oh, shit.
Hey, by the way, shout out to Crowder. Like, bro, you've been holding back all that awesome basketball analysis on the Hawk and Crowder show. Where the fuck did that come from?
Oh, you hear him, right? Oh,
yeah. You sounded like you're ready for the jump with Rachel Nichols. What's up?
I was saving it for my dude Al, man. He used to be a Hooters. He was hiding in the corner.
Yeah, man, listen. Hooters. I'm trying to use the conversation at Hooters.
I'm talking about this shit.
And I'd be like, bro, you got a Hooters. Miss Hooters, shit. It's a restaurant.
I believe Alf was hiding in the Hooters. I believe it. If that's where the setting is of this story, I believe it. Whatever.
No, here's the fucked up. Here's how Crowder did me. I met Crowder one time. I might have met him more than that, but the one time I remember, because usually I'd be drunk. But I wasn't even drunk. I went to Hooters. It was like in the daytime. I was supposed to be working. I just stopped and had me a drink and had some wings. I see Channing Crowder over in the corner. I'm like, oh, hey, let me go. Hey, listen, I got a show called Light Skin Opinions. I love you to come on sometime. Hey, man, no problem, blah, blah, blah. And y'all was like, I know Hawk, blah, blah. He's like, oh, I know you because I was on 790 with Ethan, blah, blah. Had a nice conversation, right? One time. The next day, Crowder goes on Hawk and Crowder. And Hawkman says something. I guess I texted the show. Or Solana brought me up. Somebody brought me up. And Channing goes, yeah, I know Alf. I see him at Hooters all the time. I was like, what are you talking about?
You know what I'm saying? If you're at Hooters at 11:45 a.m., your ass be there all
the time.
Sneaky at Hooters at 11:45 a.m. drinking. You were right. I was drinking too, let's be honest. I know how.
I don't remember what time it might have been. Shit,
you hadn't even been working good.
Ordering chicken wings and shit. 11:45.
Said I was supposed to be working.
I was,
he said I was supposed to be working.
That chicken wings and crown in the middle of the day.
Hey, I'm taking lunch at 11:45, boss.
And it was And I'm like, I seen this man. This man said, I have seen Alf all the time at Hooters.
Yeah, we be at Hooters all the time together.
Getting fucked up before noon.
Oh boy, that's funny though, boy.
I was like, people started texting me, like, you be at Hooters. I'm like, no, what the hell? You hang out with Channing at Hooters? I know. What are you guys talking about?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm like, damn, Janet put me out there hard.
The relationship shaky now. So apparently you be at orders with Channing Crowder.
Oh, is Channing a liar? Channing just a liar? I mean, he rich. He don't lie. Why would he lie?
Where you at for lunch?
But let me smell your breath. Smell like chicken wing.
You be telling your girl you at La. You be telling your girl you at La Carreta. Your ass be right at
be right hours. I'm like, man, I stopped that Subway. What you talking about?
Man, I went to Las Vegas Cabaret, Cuban cuisine.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
But we have Channing Crowder here, though. We can't waste this opportunity. I need to know, because I've been trying to talk to everybody about it. I want to switch the topic here just slightly. Waddle or Smith from Alabama? You got some people saying Waddle is the right pick. He is actually the better of the two. Some saying, no, we should have went with the Heisman Trophy winner. What are we doing? I need a light-skinned opinion on that, please.
I would say my thing about Waddle and Devontae. Waddle, bro, if you go back and look, Waddle played four games. Boy had 600 yards. He was the dog. He outplayed Devontae in those four games. Then Devontae comes back. Devontae wins the Heisman. I think Devontae is going to ball in, what is it, Philly. Like, Devontae is a good player. Devontae's, you know, short and small. Waddle's bigger. Waddle has a better frame and all that stuff. And also, Waddle runs a damn 4.37. Mm-hmm. Fast people run fast, and that is a blazer. Will Fuller and Waddle on the outside, which way is the safety going to lean if they go single high? Like, I love the pick, and I love what Flores and Chris Greer said. They said, this is our guy. This is why we were willing to trade down to 6, because we knew there were going to be some quarterbacks taken. We met the, you know, Atlanta. Kyle Pitts was, I'm a Gator too. Kyle Pitts was my date, whatever. He was my man crush this draft. Kyle Pitts is going to be amazing in this league. They knew they couldn't go get him, and they were comfortable trading for Waddle. And Waddle and Devontae, Waddle's faster. Waddle can do everything that Devontae can do. And even as you saw, Devontae started dropping. There was a bunch of people that could have took Devontae. So, bro, I have no question about what Waddle's going to do. And people talk about these goddamn injuries. This kills me. Even Jalen Phillips, his injury. Do you know Jalen Phillips got hit by a car driving a moped And that's why people are questioning him. Waddle hurt his ankle. He's a goddamn football player, hurt his ankle. I had four ACL reconstructions in high school. Like, football is going to get you injured. It's a bunch of big-ass dudes running around really, really fast, and shit's going to happen. So all that injury concern stuff, like, that's the thing that kills me. They evaluated Waddle. They wanted Waddle. He was on their board high, and they went and got Waddle. The fastest receiver this year in the draft, he's faster than Jamar Chase. He's faster than Kyle Pitts. He's faster than Devontae Smith. They wanted a fast guy, and they went and got a fast guy that's explosive with the ball in his hands. He returned punts. Jakeem Grant's ass, he's the one that should be worried right now.
Ain't that the truth?
Jakeem Grant, what he does is what Waddle does. So Jakeem Grant should be upset. But, bro, the Waddle Devontae Smith thing, it's going to be an argument for years, Chris, but it's a thing just like Tua and Herbert are going to be a conversation for years. Mm-hmm. I believe that if Chris Greer and Flores, who I trust, Chris Greer came and recruited. He came and worked my ass out at Florida. He was the guy that came to Florida when I was coming out in 05 and worked me out. I've been grinding a long time. I really trust and like Chris Greer. That situation, it's personal preference, back and forth, what they want. They evaluated Waddle. They wanted Waddle. They were understanding enough and knew that they could trade back to six and get Waddle, and then when they got the dude they wanted. And I love it. I have no problem with that draft. I love the first two draft picks of the Miami Dolphins.
Fantastic. I just had to get that in, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say what happened to this process.
Taking a safety with a 36th pick, that's the one that got to me. Because that motherfucker, what's his name? Devin Hollins? That motherfucker better ball. Because you take a safety in the early second round when you need a running back and you need so much other shit, an offensive tackle, I'm telling you, I'm standing hollering like a bad girl at the club. I'm watching the whole way through. I'm going to camp to watch Holland, because if you take him that high, he better be a monster. That's my question of the Dolphins draft, is that 36th pick with the safety from Oregon.
Y'all heard it here first.
Don't ask a football player for a football take if you don't want all the fucking takes. If you don't want all the takes, don't ask a football player for his football takes.
Listen, man, I'd rather talk about that than this game. I'm not even a Dolphins fan. Shit. Let's sit here and talk about Tim Hardaway hitting 10 threes. Fuck him.
Fuck the Giants, Al. Fuck the Giants.
Well, I'll give you some heat.
Fuck the Giants too. I don't know what the fuck they did in the draft. I don't fucking care until they get good again. Then I'll start watching. I ain't watched Nan game last year. I forget the quarterback's name. He just looked like Eli Manning. That's Jones, all I know. Yeah, Daniel, that motherfucker. Jones, he's sorry. I don't care what nobody just, oh, he got weapons now. He's sorry. He been had weapons. He just
now sucked. Hold on, everybody. Just take that with a grain of salt. It's the same man who just said I'll start paying attention when they get good again.
Yes. I watch the Hurricanes and I watch the Giants when they're good.
I got something for you for this Heat game, though, right, and for the basketballness of the show. I've said this to you before. I'm waiting to see if people are going to get on board with me. Duncan Robinson is not that good of a basketball player.
Oh, hey, this nigga goes.
Listen to me now. Now, we talking about Tim Hardaway, right? Hold on. Let me make my point.
Wait for these views to drop off real quick.
Let me make my point now. Let me make my point. Tim Hardaway hit 10 threes, right? He hit 10 threes. Did you know he set them threes off, two of them. He took Duncan Robinson off the dribble, one dribble pull-ups to the baseline two straight times. Boom, boom, bucket. Boom, boom, bucket. Came down the next time, Duncan Robinson is doing his lazy, sloppy Gumby defense, pulls up on his ass. Wow. Before you know it, now he's hot and the game is over with. I'm willing to put forward, to postulate, that Duncan Robinson is how this game got out of control. Because Tim Hardaway started lighting his ass up, and from then it was on. Tell me I'm wrong.
The man.
Duncan's a turnstile. Duncan can't play no defense. Bro, he can't play no man-to-man. We are a team defense. You talking about just lining up in front of a dude at the top of the key playing? Jimmy and Bam are the only two that I really trust. Somebody one-on-one. Y'all let me know if I'm wrong. But
you're not wrong. But of all the bad defenders on this team, All the guys that Christopher Maddox loves Kendrick Nunn. Kendrick Nunn can't defend. He's a turnstile his damn self. He a traffic cone. At least a turnstile move. Traffic cone just sit there and get blown by all the fucking time. I've never seen a motherfucker die on a screen. That motherfucker's like a fucking mosquito the way he dies on screen.
I'm still following Mo Harkless, man. I can't remember Chris too much.
Hey, by the way, Channing, before you listen to anything Chris say, Chris was over here talking about Mo Harkless was going to be just a fucking dynamo for this.
He's
team.
The linchpin, man. He's the linchpin.
You said he's going to be like Jeremy Grant. That's some old wild shit.
What
to
I
say.
Said was they got him in that lieu of a guy perfect. Like Jeremy Grant. That and then I also said that Mo Harkless was a baller in college, and that's why I had high hopes. You know, dudes change teams. I thought he might come here. Shit,
Sebastian
my Telfair
was good in high school. Saying?
That's not the point.
No,
the
he
point
was fine when he changed teams school, again.
The point is, as bad as Kendrick Nunn defense may be and down on screens and all that, which is true, Duncan Robinson consistently gets guys going. Kendrick Nunn may give you up a bucket. What I am saying is tonight, Duncan Robinson's defense got Tim Hardaway going.
You saw out of pocket.
Duncan was not the reason that we lost.
Duncan wasn't the problem tonight.
He wasn't one. I mean,
Duncan was, and a lot of those threes by Tim Hardaway were wide open because the zone wasn't rotating properly. The zone defense got Tim Hardaway.
Who was on that side of the zone?
Man, we can go back a little bit of tape. I know all 10 of them wasn't on.
Not all 10 of them.
I'm about to be like Brandon Marshall on that fucking I Am Athlete. Except I won't be wrong.
That's what I got. Listen to me now. Y'all are the stats guys. I bet you if you go find the stats, you'll see. In that second, third quarter time frame right there, Tim Hardaway was killing Duncan Robinson. Is that crazy?
Yes.
I can drop a bucket on Duncan. Slow footed,
but that ain't that. That's not why they lost.
I'm not saying
that. You have a hard time playing, bro. The problem is they got rid of Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder wanted $10 million a year for 3 years, 3 for 30, and that's all they wanted. They gave KO garbage ass 10. They want to give Jay Crowder. I'm telling you, if Jay Crowder was still on this team, this would conversation could be addressed by.
I've been saying it. They
Harper got rid of his ass. That's the problem. Getting rid of Jay Crowder. And I'm glad they got rid of him because he was stealing my Crowder lower in South Florida. I'm the king around here. But that's the problem. For them not
the king of the Crowders.
Jay Crowder, that game to the defense that went to the goddamn NBA Finals last year, Jay Crowder was the piece of that. And that's a mistake they made. Just like giving Hassan Whiteside's garbage ass $100 million. Those are two mistakes that they did that they shouldn't have done. That was a problem.
Crowder, I want to get your take on when they gave Chris Bosh that max contract.
I'm not a fan of Bosh.
That's what I'm waiting for.
I like aggressive people. I like aggressive players. I don't think I thought Chris Bosh's feet touched the paint in a year and a half. Damn, this big motherfucker 7 feet tall never goes down low. He always stands out there with the little men. But he was a good piece. Actually, Solana and Hawk have tried to convince me that, you know, him taking the back seat, 12-time All-Pro and all the whatever, 12-time All-Star, and he did his thing. But, yeah, I really believe that with Dwayne and LeBron, they could have put another All-Star there and still won 2 out of 4 over Bosh. But people kill me for it, but I'm not a big fan of Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh, single-handedly, here go another take for you. Chris Bosh has a big role to play in both of them championships. He blocks what you call it, you shooting a three at the end against the Spurs, and then, of course, the pass to Ray Allen and shit. Like, Bosh got some moments, dog, that make him – them alone overrule all that other shit.
Oh, bro, if that big goofy-looking motherfucking pterodactyl wasn't out there, somebody else would have been at four. Like, exactly like we could have four players out there. Somebody else would have got that goddamn rebound. Kick out to Ray Allen. Boom. Come on, man. You act like Chris Bosh is a dog in the paint. Chris Bosh was easy. This is a 4-1, a 0. What's past the point guard? A 0? Because the point guard is the 1. This motherfucker was a 4-0. He wanted to play with the little bitty dudes. And you know the big boy that wants to play with the girls and the dolls. I think Chris Bosh was playing with the dogs.
Oh, man.
He's more relaxed and conservative than the big boys that want to get down low and beat a motherfucker to death. Like, I like the big boys that like to beat people. I like Shaq. I like, you know, even AD will get down there and get nasty.
You like Shaq, but what about your boy Zion? Because Crowder is a known Zion hater.
He has boobs on the side. He got titties. Bro, Zion is crazy talent, bro. But Zion is
he got titties.
And his whole body's gonna give out on because he's on the side. He's 280-290 running around breathing hard. Cookies and shit. Man, Zion's too big to make it for 10-12 years in his league.
Crowder.
Did he go to Hooters a lot too?
11:45.
He just drinks grease. He gets a bottle of motherfucking vegetable grease and just chugs it. Oh, that sounds good, don't it? Get your big ass out of here.
Just an old snack eating motherfucker. Just
we snacks. He got goals. No,
I feel like we have to say that, like, the views of the light skinned wonder
are not necessarily the views. Or by
the light-skinned fan. Zion, if you ever want to come on and talk about, all up. You know what I'm saying, your preferences in Greece, come through, bro.
So you say Zion's gym bag just full of snacks and zebra cakes and fucking star crunches.
And gummy bear juice, because even with all he is dunking on boys' heads. Even with all them snacks, that boy whamming on folks, huh?
Oh, 2021, them knees good. I'm telling you. I told him, Solana, I've said it a number of times. He's going to be Sean Kemp. Y'all remember Sean Kemp? When Sean Kemp got to be rising up, going from the free throw line, yamming on people. But he just, it doesn't roll over because then Sean got big and Sean was partying and all that stuff. And that big fat bastard in New Orleans, the best food in the nation.
That's true.
Crawfish. Yep.
Crawfish. He don't even shell him. He threw the whole crawfish up. Don't even pay him out to kill. He shoot his head.
Crowder's convinced Zion's going to lose his foot by the time he's 28.
Oh, no.
Diabetes. I know what diabetes is like. My uncle lost his foot. I told the story. I used to rub lotion on my uncle's little mirror.
A good nephew. That's a good nephew. Looks
like. That is a good nephew.
Wait. I think we have a video of what Zion might be walking like in a few years, don't we, Brass?
You're gonna make me pull. I have. It's like I can't store it in here. Yeah, I'll pull it up. Jesus,
you pull it up. Hey, listen.
I'll have it ready from now on. Okay.
That has to be ready. That has to be at the go.
Zion gonna have to check his sugar in between quarters, man. Yeah.
He said they're pricking his finger.
Take that glucose pill. Yeah. They take first, they take the pinky toe, then they take all the toes and their foot and neck. That's how it happens.
Here you go. This is
shit.
Look at the top of your screen. This gonna be Zion. You see that?
Oh,
holy shit!
Oh.
Yeah. I'm coming.
Them knees. Is that unedited?
Yes, that's.
Oh my god.
That's Deadman. That's on account of that gout.
I'm coming.
That's Zion after a plate of crawfish on his way to the bathroom.
That's too much gas station wine.
That's if somebody call your older uncle, if you call your older uncle out of the house to move a car right quick. Mm-hmm. Uncle Johnny, come move this car. All right.
Hey, Crowder.
He gets the wine for free at the gas station though.
Crowder, we know Ocho, your boy from the I'm Athlete podcast, he might jump in the ring. We talked about it today. Would he beat Zion in the ring? Like if him Zion went one-on-one in the ring, does Ocho come out of that alive?
Absolutely not.
No.
If he runs fast enough for a round, I know fat people, how fat people work. Fat people go great. Even fat girls jacked up when they party. 8 o'clock, 8:30, fat girl ready to go. 12 o'clock, fat girl go to bed. They carry around all day.
Mr. Crowder.
Bro, you can't carry around 270 all day and still get 12:30, bitch will be so tired. Hey, I'm gonna go to McDonald's. No, we don't go to no goddamn McDonald's. We gotta find a man. He's gonna run out of juice, mama. Big people run out of juice. I'll tell you that much. That's what happens. Even the big truck. That called miles per gallon go down. Big people got low miles per, and that's what Zion got. He got to gas up regularly, or he ain't gonna make it to the destination.
Mm. Can you make sure Ocho Cinco don't embarrass us though, like Nate Robinson did?
I warned him. Y'all saw the clip. Y'all saw the clip when he announced it on the it's on my Twitter, official crowd on Twitter. I tried to tell him, I said, bro, don't have your booty in the air. The worst thing in the world is getting knocked out and have your booty in the air.
But he don't have an opponent yet, though, does he?
Who is he? Everybody say, who he fighting?
We don't know yet.
Who is he fighting? Fight when you don't know who you fighting?
Yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that.
That's why this might be the first fight I boycott, man. I don't know if I'm gonna watch this, man. This scene,
I just can't see it happen like it did to Nate Robinson. I can't see that shit again, man.
Nate played. Yeah. Nate went out there playing with that man. That man was real serious. That's what that was. You know, Nate thought he was gonna go out there and slap box, and that boy was out there real serious trying to get that money. You know, that's what Chad gonna have to worry about. Whoever fight Chad gonna be like, man, let me get this money. If I beat this man up, I'm finna get a little viral sensation, get paid for a little while.
Yeah, get a check, get endorsements. Yeah, that's what I always. Yeah. Even Brandon Marshall was talking about fighting Deontay Wilder, and I said, bro, that man is going to kill you.
Who said he's going to fight Deontay Wilder?
He was talking about 6 months ago, and we were at a party, and I'm talking about, I think Amari was there, Amari Stoudemire, Phil Wheeler, a bunch of dudes were there, Danelle LB, Michael V, it was a bunch of dudes at this party, and everybody amping his head. Amon Shumpert was amping his head up. Yeah, B, do your thing. Yeah, B, you going to get him, B. And I waited for all the smoke to settle because I was the last one to speak. And everybody was amping his head up. And I said, you know what, B? You're going to go to fucking sleep.
You're going to go to sleep.
I'm going to wear a nightgown so that when you go to sleep, we can go to sleep together. And I'm going to
lay down there with you. Deontay Wilder is a monster.
Yeah,
his arm is as long as a man, cuz.
You do think that little bag they do? That bag, now they ready to fight. No, Jack. These motherfuckers swing back and they hit you in your chin, your ass going to bed. That's what's going to happen.
That's the part you can't train for too much. You can't really train that chin up not to catch a real punch from a real fighter.
And then you can't hit a real fighter. Not square. No. Because that bag, the punching bag, the speed bag, it don't move. You can't hit a real fighter square up. That's like people talk about, they want to, like a guy like Conor McGregor wants to fight Floyd Mayweather. You can't hit Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
All them, and he tagged Floyd a few times. Ain't even faze him because Floyd been hit by real fighters. You ain't gonna really hurt Floyd Mayweather if you're not a trained boxers can't hurt this motherfucker. What are you gonna do as Brandon Marshall? I mean, against Deontay Wilder, that dude is I wouldn't get in the ring with Deontay Wilder for $1 million. Actually, I'd do that shit. I'd get my ass whooped. Right amount of money. You give me 50,000, I'll do it.
But let me ask you this: this might change your mind.
You can shoot me.
The memes is forever, bro.
Listen, I'll take the memes. I got bills to pay.
But hold on. But what if this might change your opinion? Would you, if the money was contingent on you had to wear your glasses when you fought them, would you do it then?
I'd do that shit. I could buy new glasses with $50,000.
No, that ain't gonna bust that shit in your eye, cuz.
Oh, shit, you're right.
That'll change your mind, though.
I wear them.
Nobody had Alpha glasses. Them the Malcolm X's. Them things.
I don't call
by any means necessary.
Yeah, I know. I forgot to get your hand out of my pocket.
It's from the civil rights line at Lenscrafters.